Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says about this verse, that this verse is describing how we associate with devotees, because it's in association with devotees that we get bhakti. Now this is a very important point we'd like to focus on for minutes. Many times we have different understandings. We think that by reading a book I can get bhakti. Or by chanting the holy name, even I'll get bhakti. Or by worshipping the deity, I'll get bhakti. Because these things are said to give bhakti. Correctly, they do give bhakti. Worshipping Tulsi Devi. But these things in connection with the devotee. Therefore it's said that ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha tato bhajana kriya. That in the beginning comes some faith, and then association with devotees, and then devotional practices after association with devotees. Therefore, the Brihadaranyaka Purana describes a verse that is quoted many times by Thakur Bhaktivinoda and Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, different acharyas. Bhakti stu bhagavad bhakti sangena parijayate. That bhakti comes from the devotee. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sangha. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, the birthplace of Krishna Bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. It doesn't come from any other source. And this is described in many, many different literatures. Narada Bhakti Sutra has many statements in this regard. Tattu Vishaya Tyagat Sangha Tyagat Cha. That one attains bhakti by giving up sense gratification and mundane association. Avyabhitta bhajanat. We attain bhakti by worshipping the Lord ceaselessly. Loke pi bhagavad guna shravana kirtanat. We get bhakti by hearing and chanting about the Lord. So many different explanations are given. But then Narad Muni says, mukhyatas tu. Mukhyatas means primarily. The main thing though, mukhyatas tu mahat kripa yaiva bhagavat kripa. Primarily we develop bhakti by the mercy of great souls or by a small drop of the Lord's mercy. So this principle of associating with devotees is very, very important. On our own, we can't understand Krishna. And therefore, Rupa Goswami is giving us this verse, Dati Pratigrinati, Guyamakyati Pratishati. This is how you should associate with devotees. Because by the mercy of the devotees, you'll come to hear and understand about Krishna. There's a very powerful article in this regard from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I'll read a little bit of it and I'll translate it for you from his English into understandable English. It's called Psilanthropism, for starters. The word Psilanthropism means when someone considers some mundane thing. It's a doctrine that Christ was a mere man. The word philanthropic, it's a Greek word, meaning that merely human. Silos means bear or mere, and anthropos means man. So philanthropism means that a mere man can be like Jesus, or a mere man can be like a sadhu. This is a bogus idea that an ordinary person could be like a genuine sadhu. So, listen to his very interesting words. The most merciful Lord condescends at times to depute his servants, the dwellers of that blessed region, to the benighted inhabitants of this ungodly world. The Lord is so merciful. Sometimes he very kindly agrees to send his servants who are residents of the spiritual world to come to the benighted inhabitants. Benighted means those inhabitants of this place who are suffering very badly, of this ungodly world. And sometimes, out of His great mercy, the Supreme Lord Himself comes down into our midst. The Lord Himself and His obedient servants alone know the real nature of the transcendental world. Only the Lord and His realized servants who are coming from, only they know the nature of the spiritual world. Those souls that are engrossed in matter are ignorant of the true nature of the spiritual region. Those conditioned souls in this material world, they can't understand the spiritual world. He says, how then can we expect them to remember and tell us tidings of the transcendental world? How can we expect them to tell us about that spiritual world? They've never been there. Can a person who's never been to England give us true information regarding that country? If someone's never been to England, how can they tell you about England? The analogy of this mundane world does not, of course, apply fully to the case of the super mundane. This analogy is insufficient. In this world, for instance, one who's never been to England may, by learning of the account of that country from others who have visited it, may be able to understand and also convey to others information thus obtained. You may have never been to England. Have you been to England, Prabhuji? No? But you've read about it in books, and you've met some devotees who have been there. You can say it's a very foggy country. It only gets warm 2 days a year. And people eat lots of fish and chips there. You can say those things. And those are correct things, because you've heard it from somebody else, even though you've never been there. He says, this is feasible, this is possible, because Bengal and England happen to be countries that are both situated within the limits of this physical universe. And one country materially resembles the other. And therefore it is possible for a person who is acquainted, who understands the conditions of one country, to understand the description of the other country from the pen or lips of a person. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta likes long sentences. From the pen or lips of a person who happens to be, like himself, a denizen of their common universe. It's possible. Because you're both, we may be living in Vrindavan or in Bengal, but you hear something about England, you can understand something of it, because both the Bengali person you're talking to and the English person, they're all living in the same material world. But the spiritual world happens to be quite unlike this physical world. The two are, in fact, centered around opposite poles. Therefore, it is not at all surprising that, engrossed as we are in the experience of this world, we fail to understand the real meaning of such accounts of the spiritual world. It's not at all surprising, then, that we who are so much absorbed in the experience of this world, we can't understand the descriptions of the spiritual world that have been written or declared for our benefit by those who have had the privilege of possessing true knowledge of that transcendental region. It is all the more so, a very interesting thing he says, because the instruments with whose help we fallen souls have to study those accounts, the instruments that we have to study those accounts. What are the instruments that we have to study those accounts? These are Panchagyan Indriya, our eyes, our ears. These are the ways our senses are touched. These are the ways that we're going to try to understand these accounts. But he says, those instruments are themselves the cross threads in the texture that binds us to this world. The very things that we're using to try to understand these transcendental accounts are the same things that bind us up to this world. They're not very good instruments to use to try to understand spiritual life. The same instruments are the things which tie us up in this world, our senses. Those who consider that by means of this material mind, intelligence, and perverted ego, that it is possible to undertake investigation of the spiritual kingdom and to enlighten other people regarding the same, those people who think that it's possible with your mind, intelligence, and ego to begin to investigate the spiritual world and enlighten other people about the spiritual world, they think that it's possible with the help of such a mind to understand the nature of the spiritual world by studying the words of the great seers, the great saintly persons, and explain them to others. Those persons are philanthropists, in the sense in which the term has been used by devotees of God. Again, the concise Oxford Dictionary defines philanthropism as the doctrine that Christ was a mere man, Greek philanthropic, meaning merely human, that some human person is going to try to understand something transcendental. So we can't do it. Bhakti, according to Jiva Goswami, is a very big, high-tech discussion, which would be good for Bhakti Vaibhava or Bhakti Vedanta, not for for this class. But we'll just briefly mention something. Bhakti is not the vritti, it's not the function of the Paramatma Vaibhav Jeeves, or the living entities who are emanations from Paramatma. This is Jiva Goswami's discussion. The point is that bhakti is not the natural thing in this material world. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur summary is saying that bhakti, bhakti, and bhagavan are not of this material world. These three, bhakti doesn't come. Bhakti comes from the Sarup Shakti. It comes through the devotee. In the language of our Guru Maharaj, it's through the Sarup Shakti Krishna Pushta Parikar, through Krishna's eternal associate who has descended to this world. Therefore, bhakti stu bhagavad bhakti sangena parijayate. So we may ask a question in this regard, that in all incarnations of the Lord always has a mother and a father. Bhakta Martin, the Lord always has a mother and a father. So who is Lord Nrisimhadev's mother and father? Can you please tell us? Do you know what the name of his mother and father are? one of the names of Lord Nrisimhadev, and the 108 names of Lord Nrisimhadev, is Stambhaputra. His father and mother are a column, the Stambha. But still he has a father and a mother. We may ask a question then about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Prema Pradartha. He's Mahavadanyaya Avatar because Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's freely giving Krishna Prema. He's Sankirtanai Kapitaro. He's the father himself of the Sankirtan movement. But where did he get it from? Where did he get this Krishna Prema from? There must be some way. This is a very interesting subject. This is described by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It said that the devotees in Navadvip, they were always seeing this very, very annoying Mimai Pandit. He was always coming and seeing Murari Gupta on the road and saying, "Hey Murari, stop for one moment, I want to talk to you. You know, I heard you giving some talk the other day, and according to Nyaya philosophy, you were saying this thing, but actually it's incorrect because of this principle over here and this." And Murari, talking so much grammar and logic and quarrel, and all the devotees were very unhappy. But still, they couldn't explain why they were so attracted to Nimai Pandit. Even Advaita Charja, he couldn't recognize Mahaprabhu because he was Gupta, he was hidden at that time. And he was so absorbed in worshipping Krishna, but sometimes when Nimai, Satyamata would send Nimai to go and get Vishwarup from the house with Advaita Charya, they were all there doing kirtan. And their kirtan is not like our kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram, Ram, Hari, Hari. It's not like our kirtan. Their kirtan, they're crying. They're in ecstasy. They're completely absorbed in Krishna. But when this little Nimai Pandit came in, the kirtan would stop. And they would all be completely looking at him. They couldn't take their eyes off of him. And they couldn't understand, why is this? Why are we so attracted to him? He's such a rascal. He's always quarreling with the devotees. Sometimes you know Murari Gupta, he's sitting down to take prasad, and you know what Nimai Pandit would do? He came and he passed urine on Murari Gupta's prasad. It was very, very bad. If you do that, Bhakta Martin, it's very nice if Nimai Pandit does it, but if you do like that, then they'll beat you. Don't do that. It's not a good thing, huh? So Vrindavan Das Thakur says that the devotees, they were seeing Nima and they became so attached to him. So they were all thinking, they started praying.
Anyohanye sadahe sadhena sabaprati sabe bolo hai ihan hoka krishne bhati.
All the devotees, when they would go to the Ganga and take bath, they would offer some prayer. When we take bath in the Jamuna, in some sacred place, we should offer some prayer on behalf of our Gurudev, previous acharyas, on behalf of our friends, our family members. That's the Vedic system. So they would offer prayers. Oh Krishna, you please be merciful to this Nimai Pandit. Please give him Krishna prema.
Dandavat hai sabe padila gangare sarva bhagavata mele asirvada kore.
On the bank of the Ganga there, they're all praying that Krishna will give his asirvada, his blessings, to Nimai Pandit, the son of Jagannath Mishra, and give him Krishna prema. So Mahaprabhu, he understood their prayer.
Bhakta Asirvada Prabhu Sire Kori Loi Bhakta Asirvade Se Krishna Te Bhakti Hoi.
Mahaprabhu, he understood their blessings and he understood that when the devotees offer blessings, we should accept it. So he accepted their blessings, and by the blessings of the devotees, he got Krishna praying. How do we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In the temple, how do we worship him? Do we worship him with a danda? Do we put a shaved head on his on the deity? No, we don't do like that. How do we worship the deity of Mahaprabhu? We worship him as a grihasta. And that's there. Prabhupada said we shouldn't worship him as a sannyasi. I once asked my Guru Maharaj this question. And he said we worship him as a householder, but not until after he returns from Gaya. Because before that, he's exhibiting his pastimes as Nimai Pandit. And after that, he's exhibiting his pastimes as Vishvambar, he who's maintaining the universe by giving them Krishna prema. He studied his prema pradatta lila, his pastimes in distributing Krishna prema. After that, after he'd gotten the blessings of the devotees. And Mahaprabhu didn't need those blessings. He's the Supreme Lord himself. But to teach us how we should serve the devotees and how important the devotees are, he accepted their blessings. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says that prior to that, Nimai Pandit, he was going to the bank of the Ganga when the devotees were taking their baths, and he would go there and he would collect their cloth and he would fold it up very nicely. And he would wash it and hang it up. And the devotees would see it and say, "Hey, hey, what are you doing? Don't do that. No, no." And Mahaprabhu would say, "No, no. You're a devotee of Krishna. You're a Vaishnav. I have to serve you. I have to do this thing." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's describing that this verse, Tadati Pati Grinati Guyamakyati Prichati, this verse is describing the system by which we associate with the devotees of the Lord. Jiva Goswami also cites this verse in his Bhakti Sandarbha. And he describes two different activities of sadhu sangha: paricharja seva and prasanga seva. So this pariprasanga seva means that we're hearing harikatha from the sadhu. And prasanga seva, this is done by tadvati pranipatena prayaprasnena sevaya upadekshanti tegyan ganyas tattvadarshana. We want to approach, and especially these three things he emphasizes, pranipat, prayaprasnena, and sevaya, that we should surrender, we should inquire, and we should do some service. So that's prasanga seva. We're doing some service to his anga, to his body. We may give him some massage. We may cook for him. We may do some different services like that. But paricharja seva means dati pratigrihati guya makyati pritchati bhungte bojayate chaiva Saibaryam Pratilakshanam. He says that this verse refers to how a devotee will associate and serve his guru. Guyamakyati Prichati especially means revealing our mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially to our guru or to our higher Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he gives a very simple explanation. He emphasizes that this verse refers in a general way of association, which is also what Bhaktivinoda says. And he says that we should do these things though with devotees, not with non-devotees. And he says this is a purpose of this Krishna conscious movement, to give people an opportunity to come and inquire from the devotees, to come and offer something to the devotees, to come and give some money, Prabhupada says. Where he says sometimes they invite the devotees to come to their home and they cook for them. And some life members do like that. And then Prabhupada says other times we invite them to come to our temple and we give them some prasadam. So these are six exchanges of love, which are based upon devotee relationships. And they're found in all relationships. They're found in general devotee relationships. But Jiva Goswami and Bhaktivinoda say especially though, they're meant to be done with more advanced devotees. Because the benefit, if we do these things with non-devotees, is not going to be the same as if we do these things, if we accept something from a more elevated devotee, if we serve, if we give some service to a more elevated devotee, if we inquire from a more elevated devotee, if we hear some confidential subject from a higher devotee, that's going to be a more powerful thing for us than we do it with common persons. Therefore, we often recommend to new devotees that don't just try to associate with people on your level, because that's our nature. Sometimes we're nervous. I remember when I first joined the temple in Los Angeles in 1982, I wanted to find some people who were new, just like me, that I could relate to, who also had material desires and were just coming from the outside world and were new to this thing, so I could relate to them something. But the devotees told me, you should try to associate with older devotees. Because if we associate with those other new devotees, they'll say, wow, you know, I used to drink alcohol. Really? I used to also drink alcohol. I used to watch cricket matches. Really? What was your favorite team? And in this way, we become degraded. But we're doing these six exchanges, but they're not so beneficial for us. So these six exchanges, we should be careful. We should try to do these things with more elevated devotees. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his Upadeshavali, he says, we were citing this the other day, says that disregarding the advice of even countless persons, I'll only take advice from a self-realized soul. If you go into the ashram, in the Brahmacharya ashram, and there's 100 devotees living there, and you tell some of them, oh Prabhu, I have some problems with my mind, some difficulties, this and that, every one of them will have some advice for you, isn't it? Everybody will want to give you some advice. Or the ladies' ashram, isn't it? Devotees like very much, oh, the real solution, Prabhu, you should do like this and this, and listen more to me, and this thing and this thing. Everybody likes to give some advice. But we should be careful to hear advice from a more advanced person. The tendency is that we don't want to hear advice from a more advanced person, as we were describing in one of the earlier classes, because a sadhu, he's very cruel. He uses harsh words. He hurts our feelings. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometimes he would even slap the devotees. They would chastise him very strongly. My Guru Maharaj also, very, very strong with the devotees. And we suddenly said, that's not fair. I don't deserve that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, we were reading the other day, that the sadhu, he makes us reveal whatever is in our heart. And then he applies the knife. He says, the sensuous desires of men are like the goats. And the sadhu, he brings those desires out, and then he takes the knife of his harsh language, and he cuts that person on the block, the sacrificial block, with his harsh words. So we don't want to do that. We're afraid to do that. We're afraid to come close to Guru. We're afraid to get some service for Guru. The dati pratigrinati, we should make some exchange. We should accept something from Guru. We should offer something to him. Guyamakyati Prichati. We should be willing to listen to him. We shouldn't be in the mode of Jalpa and Vitanda, in the mode of passion and ignorance, where we just want to tell Gurudev how much we know and want to impress Gurudev. That's not the way we associate with Sadhu. Sadhu doesn't care about that. And Sanatana Goswami, as we've described earlier, he taught us by approaching Mahaprabhu and saying, Ke Ami. The first thing is, who am I? I don't even know who I am. He didn't try to go and tell him, hey, you know, I was the chief minister, the prime minister for Nawab Hussain Shah, and I know 6 different languages, and I've studied the Bhagavatam like anything my whole life, and you know, I made my own Radhakun and Shamakun even before I ever heard about you, and we installed the Didi Madan Mohan, and he didn't tell him any of those things. But we want to go to the Sadhu, and we want to tell him, you know, I remember when I was 8 years old, when they tried to give me meat, I vomited because of it. I was a Sadhu before. We want to impress. That's our idea of impressing him. Huh? Well, I didn't like movies so much when I was a child. I only liked serious movies or this or that. That's our claim to fame. And Sanatana Goswami, such a person, he taught us, for Loka Siksha, he taught us how we should approach Sadhu. We should go as a blank slate. We should hear from him. Guyamakyati Prichati. And we should reveal our mind to the Sadhu. Whatever deep innermost thing is there in our heart, we should reveal that thing to the devotee. And we should also be willing to hear those things from other persons. This is our obligation to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada once told one devotee, Mother in the manor, elderly Mataji, Kalangana, Mother Kalangana, she's always telling us this thing. The Srila Prabhupada said that if someone approaches you for blessings, you have to give them. You may not feel that you're qualified or whatever, but if someone approaches you, that's Vedic culture, then you said, yes, I whatever blessings that I have, I give that to you. That's sweet culture. We should approach some senior person and ask for that. And we should also be willing to give that. This is also the function of the Brahmins. Just as there's 6 different types of exchange between devotees, there's also 6 different types of exchange with the Brahmin. Yajan Yajan, Patan Patan, Dhanapati Graha. Dhanapati Graha is the same as the Dati Pratigrinati. That he accepts some charity. That's a Brahmin. And he gives charity. And the qualification of a Brahmin is that he's not attached to those things, but he accepts it on behalf of Krishna and for the betterment of these other persons, not wanting it for his own greed. The best example of this is the Brahmins who perform the Ashvamedha Yajna in Treta Yuga for Lord Ramachandra as bakshish, as some priestly remuneration. He gave them to the Hotri, one part of the fire, he gave them the whole planet in the north direction. To another priest, he gave him the whole planet in the south direction. To a third, he gave the whole planet in the east direction. To a fourth, he gave the whole planet in the west direction. He gave everything to the Brahmins. There was nothing left for him. And then the Brahmins, they said, we don't need this. They accepted it. Because the Lord was offering it to them. Because they were Brahmins, that was their function. They accepted it. But then, they gave it back to him. They said, no, if we have to take on all this management and things, we're going to have a big headache. We'll become like the temple president and Vrindavan temple. And so many headaches. I don't want that headache. We want to do bhajan and think about Krishna. So they gave everything back to the Lord. So this is Dhanapati Graha. And Yajan Yajan. Yajan Yajan. The Brahmins, they do yajna, yajan. And yajan, they teach other people about yajna. The members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, we should learn about sacrifice. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to this verse, he says we should give to other people. And the best thing we should give is we should teach them how to do this sacrifice of the holy name. Prabhupada says this is the greatest gift that we can give. And this is the responsibility of all the members of this Krishna Conscious Movement. Because once you've been given this thing, you have to pass it on. The nature of transcendental knowledge is, once you've gotten something, if you don't give it to someone else, if you don't repeat it, you'll lose it. Those persons who try to, they get some far out esoteric knowledge and then they want to hide it. They don't want to give it to anyone. They'll lose that thing. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should give it to anyone and everyone. We should give it to persons who are qualified. But we should give it. So yajan yajan, patan patan. We should study the Shastra and Srila Prabhupada's books. And then we have an obligation after doing that. Our obligation is that we should go and give that to other people. And then we'll actually realize the books. My spiritual master, he once said that there's four things you should hear, read, write, and speak. The first thing is that you should hear from sadhu. Shravanam comes before kirtanam. The first thing is that we hear. We hear from the bona fide person. And then after hearing, then we read. Because by reading, then we'll remember what we've heard. And then after we hear, after we read it, we write it down. And by writing it down, we'll help to understand it. And then we speak it after we've written it. And by speaking it, it becomes ours. And becomes realized. So we hear, read, write, and speak these four things. So we have an obligation. If we want to properly receive this thing, these gifts that Srila Prabhupada are giving us, we also have to give them. And then Srila Prabhupada, he'll be pleased with us by doing that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's given some description about this verse in his some articles he wrote in Upadeshamrita. He says, what is association and what is giving up association? Many people have doubts about this. And we spoke about this some the other day, that we have to associate with different persons. If you're a grihastha devotee, you have to work a job. And today in ISKCON, even if you're a brahmachari, living in the temple, still you have to associate with some people who are coming to the temple. We used to have a preaching center in Boulder, Colorado, some 10, 15 years ago as a younger devotee. And I remember there's one sannyasi friend of ours who used to come sometimes and do programs at the house we had there. And that place wasn't very far from the University of Colorado. It was a very liberal university there in Boulder, Colorado. And many students were living in that area. And we'd do our programs on Saturday night, which is the night that all the students would go and drink and have their parties. So several times we would be having kirtan. And all of a sudden there'd be some group of drunken students walking down the street. And they'd hear this Hare Krishna kirtan. They'd say, hey, let's do something really far out. And all of a sudden there'd be all these drunken students who come into the our temple there. And I remember several times, sometimes we'd be doing kirtan, all of a sudden you look over and there's a sannyasi and there's three or four young ladies around him dancing with him. And sometimes even putting their arm around him and things, because they don't know. So in this Kali Yuga, even sometimes the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, they have to associate with ladies or with persons who are attached to ladies. Or even renounced ladies, they may have to associate with some materially attached men. It's the same principle. It's very, very difficult in Kali Yuga. But what is real association? Don't think if you see some drunken college student girl come and put her arm around a sannyasi in the kirtan that it means he's associating with her. Srila Prabhupada gave a famous example of this famous story. He said that the two sannyasis were crossing a river and one lady came and said, oh Maharaj, please could you help me across? And one of them said, I'm a dandadari, a sannyasi? I don't look at the face of a woman. Get away. Chalo. And the other one, he said, yes, Mataji, I can help you, no problem. And he bent down, he let her climb on his shoulders. And his friend was shocked. My God, how is he doing this? This is so bad. And then both of them went across the river, and then the other one carrying a lady. And then he put her down across the river, and she went her way. And then for the next week, every day, that first sannyasi was criticizing his friend. Why are you doing like this? This is very bad. You broke the principles of sannyas. You touched a woman. This is very, very bad. Women are very contaminated. You did this thing. And he's a very agitated person. And finally, after 1 week of being quiet, the sannyasi who carried the lady across, he said, well, you know, I carried her for 5 minutes across the river. And I put her down after that. But it's been 1 week, and you're still carrying her. You're still talking about her, still thinking about her always. So association means in the mind. Our Guru Maharaj, in this regard about ladies, he used to say that it's like a rope. If you see a rope and you think it's a snake, is that the fault of the rope? Has the rope become bad? If you see a lady and you think, oh, she's a Maya Devi, she's a prostitute, she's like this and that, is that her fault? That's your fault. Because you have a mentality like that. We shouldn't see like that. We should see all ladies in connection with Krishna service. And this is all ladies to see all men in connection with Krishna service. If you see everyone as Krishna's devotee. So association is in the mind. Association is in the heart. Bhaktivinoda says, when acts are performed out of love, then it is association. We may have to associate with some other person, just like that sannyasi associated with that lady by giving her a ride across the river. But he wasn't associating with her because there was no affection. There was no love. It wasn't that kind of... Maybe he had some affection for her, but it wasn't that kind of love. Giving charity to pure Vaishnavas and accepting items of wealth for them becomes satsanga. This is real satsanga. When a Vaishnava comes and offers us something, it's been said we should accept that thing. Sometimes we think, you're a very elevated Vaishnava Maharaj, I shouldn't accept. No, he's a sadhu. When some sadhu comes to give us something, we should accept that out of humility. We should give him something back then. We should give something in exchange. Thus, giving charity to or accepting charity from a materialist, if done out of love, becomes asatsanga. That's asatsanga. Sometimes devotees, they may, out of some compassion, go home to their parents and they may exchange gifts with them. But that's not necessarily asatsanga. Even if their parents are meat eaters, if it's not done out of love, if it's done out of some sense of obligation, some sense of compassion, I want to help them, that's not asatsanga. Or someone goes to old friends, some old materialistic friends, and wants to help them in Krishna consciousness, and they may exchange some gifts. That's not necessarily asatsanga. It depends on the motivation. But if we're doing it, oh, this is a very nice thing they gave me. I want to go home and give them Krishna's because they'll give me some money. And we're doing it out of affection with them. Savadan, be very careful. That kind of association is very dangerous. When a materialist approaches you, whatever is required to be done should be done only out of duty. One should not speak confidentially with a materialist. Don't reveal your mind to a materialistic person, whether that person is in the dress of a devotee or in the dress of a non-devotee. Don't reveal your mind to a materialistic person. Just like I remember once we were in one small village, and I was with a friend of mine who spoke good Bengali. And we were with one high-class doctor who was there. And my friend started, some young village boys were coming and teasing us and throwing some stones and things like they do. And my friend started speaking to them in Bengali. And our doctor friend said, hey, don't do that. You shouldn't let low-class persons know if you can understand their language. Don't let on like that. So in a similar way, we shouldn't speak confidentially with a materialist. Just stay away from them. We have some external seeming affection with them, but it's not deep. Generally, there is some love involved in confidential speaking. Therefore, it is association. While meeting a materialistic friend, one should speak only what is extremely necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. It doesn't mean that because we're devotees, we have to hate other people. Or we can't be friends with materialistic persons. It requires some maturity though. Because in our early days, generally Prabhupada would say things, don't see those persons at all, stay away from them. Because we don't know how to do these six principles. But once we become more mature and once we've understood the essence of these six principles of exchange between other persons, then we can associate successfully, even with materialistic friends. And we can actually be friends with them and help them in some way. Just as Srila Prabhupada, he was very good friends with Hanuman Prasad Poddar. was a dyed-in-the-red, hardcore Mayavadi. But he was very good friends with Srila Prabhupada. In fact, Hanuman Prasad Poddar paid for the printing of the first canto of Bhagavatam. But if you look, if you ever see books written by Hanuman Prasad Poddar, he's a big author, he's a Mayavadi. But Prabhupada had some affection for him. But Prabhupada wasn't going to him and saying, you know, Maharaj, I don't know, I had a dream, my guru came and told me I should take sannyas. What is your opinion? Should I do that or should I not do that? He wasn't going and speaking with him about confidential things. He was speaking about external things. Srila Prabhupada, when he visited South Africa, the devotees were very nervous because the lady who owned the house that they were renting, she was living right next door, and she was a very nasty person. She was very angry and always criticizing and complaining about the devotees. So they were nervous when Srila Prabhupada came. What's going to happen? So they tried to keep Prabhupada away from her. But one morning, Prabhupada went out for a morning walk, and there she was, right next door, watering the plants. And every time she'd see the devotee, she'd start saying some nasty, harsh things. And Srila Prabhupada saw her, and suddenly, before she could sing, Prabhupada went over to her and started talking to her about the plants and this thing and that thing about the house. And he started speaking about her teeth and his teeth and how after so many years, he probably still has so many of his teeth. And every day he would see her, he would talk to her about digestion or family members or the weather or this thing or that. And that woman loved Srila Prabhupada. She would tell me, those Hare Krishnas are nonsense. But I met their founder, you know, and he was a very nice man. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada understood this principle. Guyamakyati Prichati. He was exchanging with her in an affectionate way, but not in a confidential way. So we have to become mature. The problem in our relationships is we're not mature. We haven't deeply understood this principle and how to do it on the basis with devotees. So Bhaktivinoda goes on. While meeting a materialistic friend, one should speak only what is extremely necessary. At that time, it is better not to exhibit heartfelt love. But if that friend is a proper Vaishnava, then one should accept his association by speaking with him with love. This type of behavior with relatives and friends creates no hostility. There is no association in ordinary talk. Going and speaking to someone about the weather, or about their family matters, and about their appendix operation they just had, and about their athlete's foot, or this thing and that thing. That's not going to contaminate you if you don't do it on a deep level. If we do it, because that's what they want to hear. Therefore, sadhu has two things, kripa and vanchana, mercy and cheating. And we should all learn to become sadhus. Kripa means mercy. That we give mercy, but we give mercy to people who are qualified. Right? And we'll hear more about that this afternoon in this next verse of Upadeshamrita. And we give vanchana also. We give cheating to people who are not qualified. We tell them what they want to hear. Sometimes they just want to be patted on the back and told some nice thing. And you'll do that, and then they may buy a book. Sometimes we learned this principle when we were selling books. We'd stop somebody, we'd try to find something nice to say about them. Or a good thing, if it's a couple, you say something nice about the girl, and how beautiful she is, how attractive she is or something. And then she likes that very much. And then she tells her boyfriend, hey, you should buy that book. Because he listens to her. Huh? Try to find something nice to say, because that's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear you go up to them and tell them, hey, you know, if you associate with her, if you have illicit sex with her before marriage, you're going to go to hell. You know. And they have the Bhagavatam says there's a red hot iron form of a woman you're going to have to embrace in the hellish planets. Huh? If you tell them like that, they're not going to want to buy a book from you. They're going to stare at you for a moment, and they're just going to walk away as quickly as they can. They're going to think you're some crazy person. Huh? So you have to cheat them. You have to tell them some nice thing. Oh, my dear sir, excuse me, we're giving these out to all the best-looking couples here today. Yeah. Take one of these. Oh, yes, we are the best-looking couple here. Uh-huh. You say some flattering thing, that's a kind of cheating. So, Bhaktivinoda says, the same dealings of the pure devotee that loves should be done out of love. If one is obliged to feed hungry people, needy people, and teachers, he should do so as a host dutifully cares for his guest. there is no need to exhibit love. Care for them, but not out of love. And this care doesn't mean that you're harsh with them or you're negligent with them. It means that you satisfy them. You have some affectionate words for them. But that affectionate words is just on an external level. Mm-hmm. One should feed pure Vaishnavas with love, and when required, accept the remnants given by them with love. If one can behave in this way while giving in charity, accepting charity, speaking confidentially, hearing confidentially, feeding and accepting food with one's wife, children, servants, maidservants, strangers, and whoever else one needs, there will be no unholy association, only good association. There is no hope of achieving devotion to Krishna until one gives up unholy association in this way. There's no hope for us to get bhakti until we learn how to associate with devotees in this way and how to give up association with non-devotees in this way. There's no hope. It's a very, very important principle. Sadhu Sangha is the most important thing, but we have to learn these six principles, how to apply them with devotees and with non-devotees. So, we'll stop there. Are there any comments or questions from anyone on the subjects? Prabhuji.
By the five senses, you can perceive only gross matter. Mm. But with the sense of hearing, we hear spiritual subject matter.
But the Narada Padma Purana says, "Atashu Krishna Madhu Nabadid Grahindriya." You can't understand it. This is a very subtle, deep subject. There's another similar verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It describes Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavamoy. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that Krishna Prema is a vritti, is a natural inclination of all jivas. But then it says Sadhya Kavamoy. It's not literally speaking, that means not through sadhana. You can't get that thing through sadhana. And then the next line says Shravanadi Sudha Chitti Kori Yudhoi, that through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Adi, means a process of devotional service through sadhana. This Krishna prema arises. Just like in the verse from Padma Purana, it says also a similar confusing thing. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Brahma Indriya. You can't perceive Krishna's name or his form, the devotees, with your senses. So how do you do it? Sevan Mukihi Jivado Swayameva Sparatyado. You do it with your tongue. But isn't the tongue one of our material senses? So isn't that a contradiction? Both these verses seem like a contradiction. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary on this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he resolves this. He says that one cannot get Krishna, one cannot realize Krishna even through millions of years of sadhana, if done without the devotee. Yanimitam, Krishna tells Arjuna, ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta sate jana. Those persons who are saying they're my devotees directly, they're not really my devotee. Mad bhaktam ca ye bhaktas te me bhaktam anantaha. The person is a devotee of my devotee, he's my real devotee. So there's a difference between doing sadhana and chanting the holy name before initiation and doing it after initiation, after someone accepts us. We can still do it, and we should do it. For those of you who haven't formally accepted initiation, please do it. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada translates, he says there's three types of sukriti: karma mukhi sukriti, jnana mukhi sukriti, and bhakti mukhi sukriti. And devotional activities done before initiation are in the realm of bhakti mukhi sukriti. It's not directly bhakti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that it's indriya vyapara. It's the senses engaged in the sense objects. We're not really understanding Krishna. The syllables Krishna in the dictionary, it's not the same as when we hear those syllables from a pure devotee. And therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami prays, Namashrestam Manamapi Sachiputram. We were speaking about this. That the topmost name was given you by my Gurudev. What do you mean the topmost name? The name is the name. No. It's not. And Jiva Goswami says, there's Kevala Nam and there's Sneha Samyukta. There's two types of kirtan. Common name, which is found in the dictionary. And if someone chants that, that's a very good thing. They get benefit. They get the best kind of benefit you can get, the best kind of sukriti. The best kind of sukriti is bhakti and mukhi sukriti because it gives sadhu sangha. But once we get sadhu sangha, we do service to sadhu, and we exchange with the sadhu, these six kinds of exchanges, we have these kind of exchanges, then we really get his mercy. And then we get bhakti. Then we understand the holy name. Before that, it's just some sentence. Before that, we're philanthropists. If we're trying to think that I'm chanting the holy name, if we're trying to think that I can describe the holy name, if we're trying to think that I can describe the spiritual world, we should do that after hearing from our Gurudev. But if you're doing that without hearing from sadhu, you're a philanthropist. You're a materialistic person. We should hear from sadhu. And that hearing means three things. Pranipat, pariprasya, seva. It means that we have to surrender to the sadhu. Otherwise, sunilena sunakana. We spoke about this before also. It goes in one ear and it comes out the other ear. And we see some people, they want to go to sadhu and they bring a notebook and a pen, or they bring a tape recorder, and they want to record everything the sadhu says. They want to write everything down, and they think by doing that they're going to capture that sadhu. Their endeavor is just like trying to capture the air with a cage. Can you do that? Or capture the sunshine? Can we capture the sun inside of a cage? It's not possible. You'll get something, you'll think it's there. Hey, I got it. The sun's inside the pot. I put the lid on it. And then you go inside of a dark room and open it up so you'll light the room up. And you open it up and there's nothing there. In the same way, we think that we're going to capture a sadhu, we're going to get bhakti by writing some things down in our notebook or by making a tape recording. But we'll just be cheated. Unless we're doing these three things, Panipat, Pariprasna, and Sevaya, we don't have Shravana Adhikar. We're not approaching the sadhu in the right way. And that's Guya Makyati Prichati. That's the meaning of inquiring, revealing our heart. Whatever is in our heart, we should reveal to a sadhu. Whatever dark things are there that we don't speak about to anyone else, we don't tell our mother, we don't tell our brother or sister, we don't tell our best friend. The nastiest, most dark things in our heart, we should reveal to the sadhu. And once we make that effort, once we go so far and we expose ourselves like that, what does he do very kindly in exchange? He takes a knife, and he cuts with harsh words. So we have to be very sincere. Is that okay?
How does the sadhu give bhakti? I mean, can he get through pen? I mean, by books, can he get bhakti, or it is by lips? Personally, Prabhupada says that by reading my books, that those are, you know, my words.
By hearing, by associating with that sadhu, by rendering service to that sadhu. But when the sadhu tells you, your service is read my books, we do it in that way. And that's the secret. That's why members of the Krishna Conscious Movement who read books for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada told them to, they get bhakti. But other people, just like my father, he's a born-again Christian, or your mother, she read all of Prabhupada's books. Are you saying? Some of them. My father was a born-again Christian, very angry person. When I became a devotee, he read Bhagavad Gita 3 times just so that he could try to find some faults in it. He didn't become a devotee. He didn't give up any of his bad habits. But he was reading the book. Srila Prabhupada says, this is not my words, this is not my idea, this is not a controversial thing. This is our Siddhanta, our Gaudiya Siddhanta. You don't get bhakti just by reading. But if that reading is done as a service, it's another thing. The devotees asked Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne, Australia. He said, Prabhupada, can someone become a devotee by reading your books? And Prabhupada said, no. I said, well, Prabhupada, what about reading your purports? And Prabhupada said, no, no. You have to associate with a person. Aham vedmi shukavedi vyasavedi navediva. Lord Shiva says, I understand Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami understands because he heard from me in Bhubaneswar. That's another story. Aham vedmi shukavedi vyasavedi navediva. Whether Vyasa understands or not, I can't really say. Because Vyas didn't hear from Shivji. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grayam Na Buddhaya Na Chatikaya. You can't understand with your intelligence Na Buddhaya Na Chatikaya, nor by reading the commentaries. Otherwise it'd be such a cheap thing. Anyone can just read the book. Any professor, any demon, any person can just read Prabhupada's books and they'll become a devotee automatically. Is it such a cheap thing? Is Krishna gained just by someone who just reads a book? Krishna says, bhaktyamam vajanati yavan yash tasmi tatvata. You have to have bhakti. Once there was a husband and wife and they had a quarrel. It happens a lot, husbands and wives. And they weren't talking to each other. For 3 days, they didn't say anything to each other. Finally, the husband, he had to go for a business trip. So he wrote a note to his wife. My dear wife, I have to leave early tomorrow. Please wake me up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And please have some breakfast ready for me by 6 o'clock. So the wife, ladies are more simple. She was very happy. She saw, he gave in first. He wrote some note. So the next morning she got up very early, 4 o'clock, and she cooked a very nice breakfast for her husband. And then, 5 minutes before 6, she went to the side of her husband's bed, and she took a big piece of cardboard and a magic marker, and she wrote, wake up, with an exclamation mark. And she put it next to the bed. And she sat there. And 6 o'clock went by, and 6:30, and 7 o'clock, 7:15 came. And the sun was shining through the window on the man's face and he woke up. His train was leaving at 7:30. And it took 20 minutes to go to the station. And he woke up. He saw the clock and he became furious. He started shouting at his wife, what did you do? Nonsense, I told you. I told you to wake me up at 6 o'clock. He said, my dear husband, I just did what you did. You wrote me some note. So I also wrote you a note. So it's not going to wake us up. We need to hear. Those persons who think they can become devotees only by doing that, they're trying to cheat. And they may cheat, but they can only cheat themselves. Another foolish person. You can't cheat Krishna like that. Krishna's only going to accept someone who comes with his devotee. But we serve Srila Prabhupada's books by reading them. And by doing that, we may get bhakti. But what is one of the most important instructions in Prabhupada's books? Do sadhu sangha. Find guru. Accept guru. Take initiation from guru. Serve guru. Prabhupada writes it over and over and over again. In one place, one lecture, Prabhupada says, and some people say they don't have to accept guru. They can just read the Gita. Prabhupada says, they can read the Gita 1,000 times. They won't understand a word unless they approach sadhu guru. He says they're thinking like that because they've had a bad experience. So we see some people have had a bad experience. They had some bad person, some bad guru. So they think, oh, I'll reject this principle. But tasmat gurum prapadyeta jignasu shreya uttama. We must. We have no choice. If you want to get Krishna, we have to approach guru. And not just by reading a book. Okay? Yes, we can hear a lecture from a tape recorder. That's very nice. Because if you hear from a tape recorder, there's no danger. But if you go in the class, then the sadhu, especially with my Guru Maharaj, he used to pick on people. Hey, what are you doing? Sleeping in class. What kind of service are you doing? He would chastise devotees. So some devotees may decide, well, I'll just stay back and I'll make a tape recording and I can listen to Maharaj. Very nice, there's no chastisement. It's not the same thing. We want to get the merciful glance of the sadhu. Just like, what is the subject matter of the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj? Who is praying? Krishna wants the sidelong glance of Radhika. He wants that merciful glance. So we should also want the merciful glance of Krishna's devotee. And that doesn't come by a book. Chastisement doesn't come by a book. You can take the book and you can hit yourself on the head with it a few times. Something like that. But the book isn't going to give you a personal instruction. And we want that. We want that personal exchange. Is that okay? Alright, so we should stop. Take lunch, Bisa. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gop Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.